Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very accomplished branding and personal branding guru from Bangalore, India, Mr. Karthik Srinivasan. Karthik, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Ashutosh. I wouldn't call myself a guru or expert. I generally avoid those words. I'm just a learner like day one, literally, every single day.
So very happy to have a branding and personal branding learner. Yes. Karthik is the communication strategy consultant. He has spent time with Ogilvy, Flipkart, and Edelman. And he's an author, and all of you know, I'm very partial to authors. So he's an author of a book titled Be Social, Building Brand You Online. So Karthik, before we talk of branding and personal branding, tell me about your own journey in brief.
So I stumbled into the communications profession by chance, mm-hmm. but it was also a slightly conscious decision at one point because I used to stammer all through my school and college life. Mm-hmm. I was the last one to speak or volunteer to speak in a class.
Wow.
Anytime I'm asked a question, I would probably melt in the class. I would be that scared of speaking in class. So I used to stammer a lot. Mm-hmm. My dad took me to a lot of doctors, and some of the doctors even asked me to have pebbles in the mouth, or some nonsense stuff. I tried everything. It didn't work at all. So when a corporate communications internship materialized after I finished my MBA, I said, why not take up a career that forces you to communicate and speak with people day in and day out?
Well said.
Because you're so scared of talking and you stammer all through the time. That's when I actually realized that it was not physical at all the stammering. It was mental. Mm. I was afraid how bad I will go when I stammer. Mm. And now I just don't stammer at all. I love going on stages and talking to as many people as possible. No stammering at all. If I know the subject well, no stammering. If I don't know the subject well, some amount of stammering might appear. So I believe it's mental. Of course, there could be real physical reasons too for people to stammer. Mm. But that's how I started. And then I've been in communications all through since 2000 onwards for about 20 plus years. I've been both on the agency side and the client side. I'm slightly unusual because I started on the client side in corporate communications, then moved to the agency. Usually people do the other way around.
Yeah.
They are in a PR agency or an ad agency. Then it's become like a step up saying I'll join the client and order these agencies around. Mm. I'm the reverse actually. I wanted to see more clients per job instead of just one client per job. So I moved to an agency, PR agency. I was probably at the right time at the right place in India because I joined a PR agency in around 2007. And 2006 is when Facebook and Twitter opened to the world, entire world. Mm. So there was a big shift in terms of how communications was handled at that time. Mm. It was push communication to mainstream media. With social media, pull communication started happening. So I started thinking about how to do PR and corporate communications using social media tools. So right place at the right time, just lucky, I guess,
and
used it and then been in ad agencies, digital agencies. And then here I am, just me and my GST being completely on my own, no full-time employee to anybody else, just employed to myself. Very happy now and then.
Very well said. Right place at the right time with a huge dose of modesty is Mr. Karthik Srinivasan. So Karthik, today we're going to talk branding, and you spend a lot of time with not just large brands, but also large agencies. And my first question is, how has the landscape of branding evolved in India over the last two decades?
I don't think it's India-centric. It's actually global.
Absolutely.
Because of digital media and social media, branding is not what the brand wants people to believe. It's what people experience and talk to themselves about, literally. Mm. Earlier, before social media, the brands didn't have an ongoing pipeline of knowing what people believe. Mm. They used to do media research and etc. to understand what people believe from time to time. Mm. Now it's almost like a spigot has opened and they can know literally every single day what people are thinking.
Correct.
But even that is a select set of people. You don't know everybody what is thinking. So you need to keep on listening to understand. And you can't take decisions based on that either. You know some, you don't know a lot. So you just keep understanding what people think, what people believe. Mm. You put your brand out there. people experience the brand and put their version of what the brand they believe in there, and see if you can come to a middle, which is a very good place to be in, actually, because everybody is on their toes, both the brand side and consumers, everybody is on their toes. Just look at McDonald's now. McDonald's has been a very strong brand in India, extremely strong brand in India. One cheese related news, people are going helter skelter. Everybody is thinking, oh my God, do they have real cheese? And Amul is also joining the debate saying, you have, I mean, we make real cheese kind of stuff. This is almost like Baiti Ganga mein haath dhona types, etc. That's what's literally happening. So just imagine such a powerful brand, McDonald's. It's actually feeling the heat because of one news that has gone all over the place. Every single post on Instagram, half a dozen people comment, hey, but you don't use real cheese. And they're tired of saying, no boss, we use real cheese, we use real cheese. So that's how branding has changed. It's not a brand owned activity anymore. It's actually a co-created activity between the brand and consumers. We need to work together. And that's a very beautiful evolution of branding, actually.
Very well said. Thank you. And Karthik, what role does storytelling play in an effective communication for a brand?
Oh, it's everything, actually. Because as I said, a brand can communicate what it stands for, what are the features, what are the USPs, who should buy this, etc. That's there. But that's just functional information. It's not something that people will hold on to. So even if you're selling coffee, which is a functional drink, and you just buy any coffee, there are hundreds of coffee brands available. Unless you couch that functional information in something that people can relate to and remember, hey, that's a nice way to tell. And then people actually make a buy. But what actually happens is at some point, the story becomes more important than how to infuse the brand at the right place in the right story. So the story is very emotional, but the brand's role in the story seems slightly nebulous, actually. That's where the mix of how to get the right brand to the right story to the right audience makes perfect sense. If you get everything right, then people relate to the brand, people remember the story, and people remember the brand when they are in the departmental store, online or offline. Hey, I remember that nice heartwarming story. This is a coffee. Let me buy this coffee or try kind of stuff. So storytelling is essential because we deal with the world through stories. We don't deal with the world with just facts alone. We build stories around everything, literally around us, around the products, around our family, around our work life, around our entire life. We build stories. Why can't brand build stories too?
Simply. What a great response. Thank you. My next question for you, Karthik, is that based on all the work you've done with so many brands, large, small companies, large, small, based on your experience, what are some common branding mistakes a lot of companies or leaders tend to make?
One thing that I've noticed is taking decisions based on incomplete data. So the obvious fact is you can never have all the data all the time. There is always gap for learning more, understanding more, doing more research, etc. Is there one of my favorite examples is one of the e-commerce companies that I used to work in. The founders used to go to Twitter to check customer feedback, just random customer feedback around 12:55 to 1, just before lunch, just before they head to lunch. They used to check for about 5 minutes. Kya ho raha hai? Who's talking about what, using our hashtag, company name, handle, and etc. And in that 5 minutes, if they see 3 or 4 complaints, they imagine that a lot of people are unhappy with our service. And then they go to the customer service head, online customer service, and saying, boss, itna sara tweets hai, kuch karo. That guy, that hapless guy will say, I have a larger data for a month. More people are actually happy. It's not just this 5 people. No, kuch hai. You need to address this kind of stuff. So that is something. And this is just digital. You actually do 2 campaigns in a year. One during summer, during IPL. One during the holiday season, during the Christmas, Diwali time. You need a lot of data to understand whether it's working, to tweak the media plan, everything. But you need to take those decisions on an informed basis, not as a haphazard, somebody saying, this person is saying kind of stuff. Those are good inputs with which you can actually further go down the rabbit hole, but they are not the ones to make a decision with. Those are just signals for you to explore more and go deep and understand whether it's right or wrong. So that's something that I think many of them get mistaken. Of course, we are human. We actually look what we see and say, oh my God, kuch karna hai iske liye kind of stuff. But that's not the way to go about it, actually.
Well said, well said. My next question, Karthik, is on technology. And, you know, a few minutes back, you did speak about how social media came in the early 2000s. My question is, how is technology changing branding? And how do you see the digital and social media platforms continuing to have an impact on transforming branding?
Excellent. So I'll start with an example. This is something that we did in one of the PR agencies I was there. As I said, right place at the right time, early days of social media. It was a PC manufacturer that was my big client at the time. And I had initiated a social and digital media PR plan also for them. This was in 2008, really long ago when nobody was even thinking on those lines. Very few people and agencies were thinking in India on those lines. In the US, it was quite prevalent. And we figured out that people are already asking questions about which PC to buy, what are the configurations that I need for a home schooling PC, gaming PC. And people are asking those questions already. And there are a lot of discussion forums online, not just social media, discussion forums. And people are asking those questions and other people were responding, not the brands were responding, other people are responding. So we thought, why not have a branded handle in those forums by actually seeking permission from the forum manager and then respond to some comments which are relevant to this particular brand. So we noticed that this client of ours had an all-in-one PC. All-in-one PC was a big thing back then. Basically, it's a thin screen with the CPU built in and then you just have a wireless keyboard kind of stuff. It was a big deal. I don't know whether it still sells these days in the world of very short, small laptops and ultra-powerful smartphones. But all-in-one PCs were very big. Now, somebody was asking, saying, I want an all-in-one PC. Which all-in-one PC can I buy? And half a dozen other people were commenting, saying, Dell kharido, Lenovo kharido, this, that, and etc. So our client, we asked our client, saying, do we have permission to engage with this person? So we engaged with the person, saying, we actually fully understood that this person is doing digital research. He is not doing offline research. For instance, if you want a car, you first make a mental list of the three cars that I would go down and do a test drive. Right. That mental list will be based on a primary digital research these days. Earlier, when there was no digital, you need to look up ads in newspapers, call those people up saying, can I come? What are the features? What is the price? And then go and do the test drive. So the mental short list would be done based on a phone call and talking to people, peers, and etc. Now, instantly, you can do digital. In fact, with AI these days, you can ask saying, here are my parameters. Show me three cars that I should test drive. It'll literally show you three cars test drive. You just go there and finish to them. This person was doing a digital research of all-in-one PCs. As part of that, he was asking peer recommendations. What should people buy? So we actually told him, this person, that our client happens to be this brand. They have two all-in-one models, which will fit your bill, what you're looking at in terms of the configurations. And we also found out that he lives in a particular area in Bangalore because he had left the digital trials in various places. So we had also told him that this is a showroom nearest to you. You can actually go and ask for these two models, model name, model number, and we will actually get you done. Parallelly, we actually took a photograph of that guy and a bio of that guy and sent it to the manager of that store near his place. When he actually entered his place, the manager identified him immediately because we had told him so. And then I said, oh, you are the all-in-one guy. We got alert from our digital team. This was in 2008, remember. Wow. Now it's very common. 2008, we did everything the offline way. And he immediately got information only on two all-in-one PCs and bought one then and there. Okay. And he was so floored that he wrote about it. This is what digital can enable if everything connects the dots from the brand side really well. And you understand the customer, what they require, basically. This is the power of digital.
What a powerful story. Thank you for sharing this. And, you know, I've often said when my guests share such powerful stories, they are remembered by our viewers and listeners for a long time. Thank you. So, Karthik, I can keep talking to you about branding, but given our time constraint, I want to move to personal branding. Given your background in branding, how do you define personal branding and its importance today for individuals?
Personal branding is absolutely, absolutely important for individuals, whether you are employed, you are self-employed, you are working professionals, it doesn't matter who you are. We are literally like, just think of apps that we look in app store. For the same task, we got 10 different apps. But we choose one particular app based on various parameters, the number of stars given, the kind of reviews, even the reviews. We don't see all reviews. We see the top three reviews on top, and then based on that, we decide. Same thing with how we pick products on Amazon. We see stars, we see reviews, quickly we do that. And even on a Google search, we search for a product, and if three links seem to be bad towards the product, we completely drop the product. It may not be fair, but that's how we operate. Even people who can actually provide a service or who can actually provide a context or a help or anything at all are being seen from a product lens. Whether can I pick this person or not for this particular task, whether it's just for friendship or it's for dating, it's for going on a photography trip on the weekend or if for hiring, whichever it is, you pick people for various things. How would you pick people? There are hundreds of people on the same parameters. How would you pick? That's where personal branding really comes in. Absolutely important. It's not important for working professionals with experience alone. Even for college students, it is absolutely important. This means you need to be slightly more thoughtful of your digital footprint, more than what you just leave in terms of your Instagram stories. Most college students are very active on Instagram. They put stories of this, that, and etc. But you need to curate your digital footprint better. Because the minute you apply, some hiring manager is going to do a name search of you on Google. They will land on LinkedIn, they will land on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, wherever it is. And then they will build a mental model of you based on the digital trails that you have left. Now, it's entirely up to you how you curate the trail so that it works in your benefit. If you don't think consciously about it, it can work against you, or you can be just dropped. If you carefully manufacture it well, based on your own personality, you're not creating a new personality because you can't live up the personality when you meet offline. It's based on a snapshot of your real personality. It can help you really well. Most people don't think on those lines. They just do whatever comes to their mind online, and they don't think of their digital footprint on a larger context. But think about it. It can make a very powerful difference to you because somebody can pick or not pick you based on that.
Very well said. The other aspect I've often seen, and I've going to be a little parochial here, but with Indians, is that most of us say, let my work do my talking.
Right.
And I've often said, if you don't talk about yourself, nobody else will.
There is one more person, of course. Your mother will talk about you.
Absolutely. My question to you, Karthik, is what are some of the common misconceptions about personal branding that you have come across?
The biggest myth, like what you said, it's based out of Bhagavad Gita itself. It basically says, do your duty, don't talk about the results. Don't focus on the results at all.
Absolutely.
But that's not true anymore. I give you one more great example. We have a balcony. We have a pigeon problem in the balcony. It's still going on. There is a pigeon sitting there in the balcony outside me, basically. So we put a pigeon net. Now, how did I get a pigeon net vendor? I went to Google and said, pigeon net vendor near me. I picked one of them based on the reviews that are given in Google itself, whatever the reviews. He came and finished and then said, boss, if you are happy, can you leave a Google review to me?
Yeah.
I was floored. A pigeon net vendor who can barely speak English, he speaks only Kannada and broken Hindi. He understands where his next business will come from and goes to every single customer and said, please leave a positive review for me if you are happy. The same thing you could get to hear from hotel waiters. After they have done, they would probably show you their name saying, this is my name. Can you leave me a positive review on Zomato if you are happy? Excellent. So these people have understood that personal branding, you need to create your own stories. You need to ask for it. Otherwise, it won't happen. We as customers won't remember that person's name is saying, I need to leave a good review. Nobody cares about that. You need to make them remember.
Correct.
So that's the first myth. You need to talk about yourself. Nobody else will do that. Exactly as you did, except your mother, of course. Nobody else will do that. Even here, people actually misunderstand, I need to talk about myself point. They think I need to talk high about myself. I need to talk about my achievements. What are the big awards I have won? What are the promotions I have won? Which companies I moved in? That is not the only thing you need to talk about yourself. Remove all achievements and highs. You can just showcase your curiosity and interest in the areas of your interest, literally. If you are interested in 1, 2, 3 topics from a professional point of view and 3, 4, 5 topics from a personal point of view, be consistent and talk your curiosity and interest. At least just showcase that, wow, this is happening. I'm very happy that this is happening in this function. why is this happening within this function? I don't agree with this point of view of this person.
Mm.
You are not trying to pitch yourself as some expert. You're just being curious, constantly, relentlessly curious and interested in the areas that you are interested in.
Anyways.
That itself is a big deal. Mm. Occasionally talk about your achievements, the wins and etc. Occasionally, probably once every 6 months, that should be more than enough.
Mm.
That way you are actually giving back to the community what you gain in terms of value so that others also gain value. So you are first audience. Mm. You need to gain from it first. Then people will gain from it. If you write saying, I've got this award, I'm humbled. Of course, you gain from an award. But what do people gain from it? Yeah, Karthik won an award. Big deal. I don't care at all.
Yeah.
So that is occasional. The mainstream is you gain, you learn, and you share that learning with people. That is the thing. And most people miss this simple trick. They think, I can't talk about myself. I feel vain. Of course, you'll feel vain. You're talking about, because we are Indians. We are very, very humble that way. We have been born and we are brought up that way. So don't talk about this. Just say if you're in banking, be very, very passionately interested in the updates of banking and have a point of view on the thing. Have your perspective.
Correct.
That's a great start, actually.
Correct. Well said. So time for two more questions for you.
Yep.
My next question is, you know, we spoke a little bit about social media and leaving your digital footprint and leaving a digital trail. How can individuals handle criticism or negative feedback when it comes to their own social brand or personal brand?
Personal brand, yes, of course, which will happen. Obviously, it happens for brands. It will happen for people. It
happens to me all the time.
I understand. Hmm. So I actually strongly advocate in my workshops on personal branding that you don't shun from criticism either you are giving or you are being given. Because it's coming from strangers, you should be really worried about criticism from people that you love and know. Like your family, like your peers, your immediate colleagues. If they criticize you, you should be paranoid. Oh my God, they know me well and they criticize. There is something wrong. I need to address either that side or that side. If it comes from strangers who have no clue who you are, you don't need to take it seriously. But if it is well articulated and has a point, engage with them on good faith. But do a check whether it's an anonymous handle or a known handle. Can you track who that person is? Where have they worked? Where are they coming from to understand whether it's good faith or not? If it's a troll handle, anonymous handle, you can't find out where you work, don't engage with them. It's like you're going on a busy road. Somebody just criticizes you. You won't even bother. Who the hell is a stranger? I don't care at all. So engage if it is articulated, framed well, and they make sense, engage with it. Otherwise, don't engage at all. You would obviously have hundreds of people not liking your work or not liking your face, whatever it is. Ignore them completely and just move on in your journey. That's what matters, actually.
Very well said. And my last question to you, and I want to come to your book. You're the author of a book titled Be Social, Building Brand You Online. I'm going to ask all our viewers and listeners to go and check out Mr. Karthik Srinivasan's book. I will go and check it myself. Karthik, tell me about your book and what was your hypothesis when you wrote it?
So I don't consider myself as an author at all. Mm-hmm. And it took a lot of time and effort and patience to crunch what I wanted to say in the form of a book.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but there you are being very modest about it and say, why should I talk about my book?
No, the thing is that I don't read with printed books anymore at all. I'm completely moved to audiobooks completely because that saves a lot more time. So I don't even believe in the printed book format. Even an ebook format is better for me, not the printed book. But I actually wrote this book literally as a marketing vehicle for my workshops. It just helps. There is a physical artifact that people can touch and feel and see online, which makes sense from a saying, okay, this guy has written a book. I can probably trust him to be credible enough to do a decent enough workshop. And then it comes. To be very honest, that was the only reason. But I am stunned by the kind of reactions from people even 4 years after I returned the book, and it's actually out of print now. I need to do a new reprint by asking the publisher to print it again. And people are still saying, I read your book. I actually got a copy from your friend. It was very, very instructive. And then I went to your blog and there is more in your blog. Very thankful for this at all. So I'm really surprised by this format called printed book. Of course, it's been there for many years, many decades and many centuries, but it works wonders. But to be very honest, I don't read books anymore from a physical point of view, but I just wanted to compile whatever I want to set as an introduction to personal branding in one place. And this really helped. The book format really helped from that context.
Wonderful. Thank you. Karthik, on that note, I just want to say thank you so much for speaking to me about your own journey. Thank you for talking to me and my viewers and listeners on branding. There were several new things that you brought out for us, which I also learned new things from you today. Thank you also for speaking to me about personal branding and the importance personal branding has for each one of us in whatever sphere we may be. Thank you also for speaking to me about your book. Thank you again and good luck to you.
Thank you so much again for having me on the show. I really like the title of the podcast, The Brand Called You. I strongly believe we are all brands. It's just that we have not realized that we are brands. Our name is a brand. Our experience is a brand. You just need to live that brand in front of people. We are used to living that brand in front of known people, people we already know, but you also need to live that brand in front of strangers. Mm. That's the crux of personal branding anyway. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.